Yes, sir, we promised you a great man. Oh, here. Right.
Here. Andre! The
Giant! WrestleMania!
WrestleMania is running wild!
My God, what the
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one sports and recreation podcast on planet Earth. No SGG, the fake iTunes charts, they didn't change. They're not fake. I don't like using that word. The fraudulent charts didn't change. They simply don't know what's going on out here because this is the number one sports and recreation podcast on planet Earth. Cheap Heat, my name is Peter Rosenberg. I'm joined by the physically large one. As Dipperstein described you and your breathing on the podcast, the physically congested Stack Guy Greg.
One correction, though.
What?
We're not the best in the world. We are the champions of the universe. We are the universal champions of wrestling podcasts.
You know what's a very good point? The universal champions of wrestling podcasts and all sports and recreation podcasts, SGG.
All of them.
As we do an episode on this Clash of Champions Go Home Week, and if you hear a special je ne sais quoi to my voice, an extra little perk, it may be because I am hashtag with a life, and I'm currently in the back of a beautiful automobile being driven back to my palatial estate on the Upper West Side. Yes, SGG, for the first time ever, I'm recording this podcast from the back of a car service, because that's just how hashtag with a life I am.
It sounds quite luxurious.
Oh, it,
I must
is,
admit.
It is very luxurious. What kind of car is this, sir?
Experience.
It's a Lincoln? It's a town car? Lincoln town car, SGG. And what's your name, sir? And Robbie, my driver Robbie, he's got me safe and sound, temperature just right on this frigid December day in the tri-state. I'm sure it'll be frigid this Sunday in Columbus, Ohio, where Clash of Champions goes down, a pay-per-view that I did not have a whole lot of interest in, but I will tell you, I believe the interest picked up a bit this week. But SGG, we don't start inside the world of WWE. We have to start inside the world of New Japan. What were your thoughts on the clash between Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho?
I was thoroughly impressed. Very impressed. I think I forget how close we are to the actual showdown on January 4th, the Wrestle Kingdom.
Wrestle Kingdom's moments away.
Yeah, it's dangerously close. So, you know, people are still buzzing about the initial announcement, but this did more to build to the feud. And I think they had enough hype just off of the video, but now this other level of violence that they added to it, I think, built it up overall pretty well.
Couldn't agree with you more. This got me excited. This got me excited. I don't know. It reminded me. I'm a bit of a... Listen, I'm not going to lie, guys. I'm a mortal man. I'm with a life, and I'm mage, confirmed, but I'm a mortal man. And sometimes I hate on Jericho because, frankly, I believe sometimes Jericho hates on me. But when push comes to shove...
Confirmed.
It's happened. There has been confirmed hate confirmed. That's happened in multiple settings. But that being said, that doesn't mean I don't like the guy. I just think he's a bit of a hater. But that gets thrown out the window when you see the moment and you remember the guy you've been a fanboy of many times. And it got me thinking, man, right. Chris Jericho is ready to go. He knows what this moment means. He knows that he can have an iconic moment. And the reason, let's be honest, guys, the reason we all love Chris Jericho is because he's the kind of guy who cares about participating in these moments. That's what makes him great. It's that he cares about it. There are some people who get to a certain level and don't care. Trust me, I know. I've worked with some of them. And listening to them talk about things, you're like, wow, you don't care about this anymore. You once did. You don't now. Chris Jericho still cares. And that's why he will put on a great show. Am I going to be awake when it's on? I don't know. But I will watch it on Watch Wrestling or something like that. Don't worry. I will watch it one way or the other. So if you haven't watched the clips of Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho, I'm sure most of you have. Although many of you are with Alive, so you might have not had time to, make sure you go check that out. SGG, is there anything outside the ring besides that, outside the WWE ring that you want to talk about?
Two other things that we got to touch on. Rich Swann, suspended indefinitely, and there's speculation that he may not even come back. Arrested over the weekend, charged with battery and kidnapping in a domestic incident involving his wife. And I think he's since been released from police custody. This was reported all on Pro Wrestling Sheet. But yeah, that's very unfortunate considering like how talented he is and just like that was so unexpected. That's not something I would have thought I would have heard about Rich Swann.
It was a very weird story, SGG. Yeah, listen, it's interesting that it happened. It was so funny too because last week, remember I told you I was living a slightly without a life for a moment and listening to Wade Keller's podcast. And and Keller just went off on Rich Swann. Like, it was so crazy. Like Wade Keller, who is incredibly knowledgeable about pro wrestling, and I think, you know, really, for the most part, gets a lot of things right and has awesome insight. Man, but one thing he is not is cool or not a nerd. And he was going off about how big a dork Rich Swann is and, like, how the character is just terrible and he has no interest. And I was like, damn, this is, like, he really went off on Rich Swann. And, you know, listen, I'm not in love with Rich Swann's character. I don't think anyone, you know, I don't think it's been over particularly on the Raw roster on 205 Live yet. But I was surprised to hear that. Anyways, fast forward, and then you hear this story, which is a bad story to start out with.
It's heartbreaking for this woman too, because it sounded like she was really afraid of him.
Yeah, I mean, well, listen, if it's true, that's the worst part. Like, you don't want to convict someone before you know the facts. But yeah, it's a bad story, man, and double bad because she's in the wrestling business as well. Is she signed? Is she in WWE?
She's not in WWE. She's an independent wrestler.
Got it.
I don't know where she's based out of, to be honest. I don't know too much about her. I just know that she's not signed. She was signed, apparently, around 2010, but right now she's on the indies.
Yeah, just a really, really sad event. And, you know, it's interesting, man. You hear about people getting in these situations, and we're not going to go down a super long, depressing road, but I will tell you, I've been in a relationship for a very long time, and I am an emotional person. And my wife and I are human beings who certainly have had our share of disagreements over the years. And I know what it's like to have an emotional disagreement with your partner. And I just wish people would learn to take a breath. You know, some people have relationships where they never fight or they never fight in an animated way. Right. I believe everyone has disagreements, but some people just don't have personalities that get very big. You don't strike me as a guy who would have a super emotional type fight necessarily.
No, I try not to. Like, I won't yell.
Yeah, like some people are just really good about not yelling. And I that's not always true of me. I've definitely raised my voice before. But I don't know. I just, you learn to diffuse and think, I'm getting really emotional. I need to calm down. I'm going to bed. I'm going in the other room. I'm going to pull over the car and take a little walk here because I'm feeling super emotional. Now, I've never had to go to that extent, but I've certainly had moments where I was like, I'm going to go to the other room now. Like, this fight isn't going anywhere. We're just escalating an argument. And young people, man, they're very young, emotional. I'm not, whatever. It sounds like I'm making excuses. I'm not. If he did something bad, then whatever needs to be done should be done, and I have no sympathy about it. I'm just saying a lot of people have emotion. You hear about these stories all the time. And so for people out there listening who I'm sure have been through these things too, I know right now there are people listening being like, man, sometimes my fights with my girl or sometimes my fights with my man are too intense. You got to start out calm, first of all. And in the middle, when you feel it escalating, you got to woo-saw and take a little breath.
Yeah, that, I think that's the key thing too. Like you said, take a breath. And also too, like, which this one is the hardest thing to do, but sort of step outside yourself. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's mad hard to get out of your feelings in those moments.
And think about the other person's feelings.
Yeah. Not only just think about the other person's feelings, but even just, like, put some distance in between you and your feelings. Like, almost express yourself like you're, advocating for a third party. You know, it doesn't really get to... to a level where, like,
what a lawyer you are, SGG. It's such a lawyer way of thinking. No, but it's true, and you know, and this is the last thing I'll say. But I mean, at the same time, you're getting free advice because I am a relationship guru on the radio every morning, Hot 97, 8:30 every morning on Hot 97. The relationship guru comes on, and I will say this: I'm not actually a guru, but I have been in relationships for a very long time. Ideally, when you're in an argument with your partner, it ends with you both saying sorry, not generically, where men, sometimes men, everyone, you know, women all have their yes, queen, yes. Sometimes you need a yes, king moment. And Greg's dropping king talk right now.
I'm trying.
Listening to understand, not to respond, because when you're in a fight, you can't wait to talk again. You're listening, and you want them to finish talking so you can respond. That's wanting to continue the fight. That's not wanting to resolve the fight. So, and you always have to remember, as the great Coleman McCarthy once taught me, if you never read Coleman McCarthy, I'm sure most of you have not, look him up. An amazing man, father of the Alternatives to Violence movement, written some great books. It's not me against you. It's us against the problem. So it's silly.
Anyways, I like that.
I hope everyone can learn something from the Rich Swann situation, though. Bad story. Are we ready to get into the week in professional wrestling?
One more thing, and then we can move on. Well, two. Really quickly, WWE announced another tournament, so we're in store for another tournament. This time, it's mixed tag teams. So men and women from Raw and SmackDown are going to pair up and compete in a tournament that's supposed to air on Facebook over the course of 12 weeks, and then crown a winner to that. And I'm not going to lie, I'm looking forward to this too.
Because
they've been doing these tournaments really well.
It's very interesting.
They've been doing these tournaments really well. And
isn't this one like on Facebook only?
Yeah. But I mean, I'm sure they'll figure
it'll be
out
on the network, I'm sure.
To everybody else.
Yeah. All right. So we look forward to that. That should be very interesting. Some of the matchups should be bizarre and cool. And what's the last thing you got there, SGG?
And happy Hanukkah, of course.
Thank you. And a happy Hanukkah to Noam Dar.
Yep.
And a happy
and
Hanukkah
Alexa Bliss.
To Alexa Bliss. Hold on, let me see if I can add.
And happy
Where,
Hanukkah
are they in the
to
country right
Bill
now?
Goldberg.
Bill Goldberg, that's right. Are they in the country right now?
I'm not sure where the Raw superstars are right now, to be honest.
Man, I wish I could.
But they must be, though. They're back from India and, like, those overseas tours.
I wonder if I can make a call on my phone while talking to you. I doubt it. But I don't think so, but
go for it.
I'm tempted to try it. If I do, just keep going, Greg.
And also, happy Hanukkah to Paul Heyman.
All right, let's see what happens when I try. I'm going to try this. Hold on. Stay right there, Greg. Might lose you, but it's all right.
Happy Hanukkah to Barry Horowitz. Happy Hanukkah to Gilbert.
I don't know.
Just an assumption. I don't know either, but I don't want to leave anybody out, though.
I don't think Gilbert is really...
I've been included, so I'm thinking about being inclusive. You know what I mean? I don't want to leave anybody out.
All right, I'm going to send her a voice note instead. Hey, Miss Kaufman, Alexa Bliss, this is Peter Rosenberg from the Cheap Heat Podcast, and for the first time since you've known of being Jewish, I'm I'm calling from the podcast to wish you happy Hanukkah. And maybe later this week I will sing some Hanukkah, oh Hanukkah, come light the menorah. Let's have a party, we'll all dance the horror. Gather around the table, there's latkes to eat. Something, 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 and latkes to eat. Damn it, I guess I did that wrong. One candle.
You got time to get it right, though.
Candles. Happy Hanukkah, Miss Bliss. All right, I hope she hears all of that. That was real life. That was actually sent. That's embarrassing. That was probably a bad idea.
Well,
anyway,
it's done now.
Yeah, but guys, remember that time when my relationship with Alexa Bliss fell apart? Oh yeah, it was right now. Okay, SGG. Let's talk about. I'm gonna do something crazy. I'm gonna talk about to start out with. And this is nuts. What I'm about to do. I'm gonna talk about something good from the world of professional wrestling this week.
Oh.
I'm going to start out by mentioning my guy, Cesaro.
Yeah.
So, man, it was nice to see Cesaro in a meaningful match. And by that, I mean, no one thought he was going to win the IC title from Roman Reigns on Monday. However, you know, we've been in Cesaro and Sheamus so long, the bar for so long, him as a tag team guy, him with Tyson Kidd for so long. And I understand why, because I still think his character needs work, and I still don't think the Cesaro character is what it needs to be for it to get to the highest level.
Yeah.
When you see him in a meaningful match with a big time guy one on one with some stakes, you are reminded of just how good that guy is in the ring. Am I right?
Yeah, you are 100% right about that. And it's like you said, too. Like, I don't even have anything to add to that. He's been in the tag teams in WWE for so long that you forget, like, what he can do as a singles wrestler. And it makes sense because he is a tag team specialist even before, you know, arriving at WWE. But, you know, matches like this remind you that Cesaro, like, he does this. You know, he's had great matches against Cena and I think even Roman Reigns a couple years back, too. So, like, to see it again is refreshing.
Yeah, it really is. It was cool. It was cool to just see that. Like, everyone talks about his power and his strength, and that's all well and good. I love power and strength, but what I really love is chemistry. And what's his pop up super uppercut called again?
I think that's just what it's called. It's like the European uppercut, the very European uppercut.
Oh man, it was awesome. And
I love that uppercut. I love how he can hit it from basically any way he wants to too. Like,
and even with big dudes like Roman, still effective and able mm-hmm. to do it. So that was my first thing that I was pleased about this week. Second thing I was pleased. I'll give you three. That was the number three spot. My number two good thing of the week. Really catchy title that I came up with for this segment. The good things of the week. You can only hear things like that right here on the Cheap Heat Podcast on ESPN. Number two, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Man.
Yeah, that's on my list, too.
The moment, the number one moment of it all was at the end of the show, them walking down the aisle and Sami Zayn lifting up his shirt all fast. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Dude, I know exactly what
he was like flailing
about.
His shirt up and down all obnoxiously like a child. I loved when he got Randy Orton out of the ring and goes right to the eye gouge. I just love how quickly I love seeing a baby face become a good heel. And Sami Zayn is such a great heel.
And that's what I like about it too. Like, it's so obnoxious, yo, like everything, like the mannerisms, like, and none of it changed really that much, but he's just more obnoxious with it, and for them it makes for great wrestling. I love the shirts too, the Yep shirts reminded me of Sonny Sofrito and those guys.
Absolutely, shout out to them. It's but we knew KO could go back and forth. You know, KO's probably bigger struggles being a baby face because he's so good at being a heel. But Sammy, for a long time, I didn't understand newsy Sami Zayn. Just didn't get it. Didn't know what we were supposed to latch on to. And now I get it. And now I see it 100%. Hold on. While I'm doing a podcast in the back of a Lincoln Town Car, I'm driving past a billboard with me on it. So it's just the thing about being.
Hold on, let me guess. This is an ESPN billboard with you.
That's right, on the West Side Highway. Just drove right past it. What a moment. This is a moment. Hashtag this is a moment.
Yo, did they take down a Hot 97 billboard with you on it to put that one up?
There have not been any hot ones for a long time. They have not spent any money in a long time.
But you know what, though? You don't need to. What do they say? Like, you know, certain brands don't air commercials and people are going to buy it. Like, you don't see a Louis Vuitton commercial.
That's facts. I am the Louis Vuitton of radio. A lot of people call me the Louis Vuitton Don.
I've heard that one before. I don't know if they were talking about
it was me. It was me. Trust me. It's time for Good Things of the Week. You've got some good things that happen every week. Sometimes they're great. Sometimes they're a little weak. But I guarantee you one thing, whether you're strong or you're meek, you're gonna love the three good things of the week. How was that?
Even though you rhymed week with week, because they were actually two different words, I'm gonna allow it.
Thank you. So number one in the good things of the week is my guy, Jason Jordan. Jason
also
Jordan
on my list.
He's still doing it, guys. This is real heat. That you people really don't like him. And I get it. I mean, man, I don't like him when he's on that screen. He is annoying and
entitled.
And then backhand. There's nothing worse than someone who's being an entitled brat to their dad. And the way he sunned Kurt Angle. And that's like, first he apologized, but then he sunned him. And then he goes out there and again still is like acting like a babyface in theory. Like his motivation in theory is babyface like, right?
Yeah, he just wants an opportunity to prove himself and like make his dad proud.
There's nuance to this character now because it's in the nuance that he is really a bad guy. Because, yeah, he just wants an opportunity, but it's just a little bit of effort. Just being a little bit thoughtful. Just making his character mean a little bit. Not overdoing it. Moving it slow. And I enjoyed another week with Jason Jordan. It was what I looked forward to. I almost felt we got too little of it, but you know what? I'll rather that than too much too fast.
Yeah, and like I said, two of those were big for me for this week. The only one I'd like to add to that to discuss a little bit is these titles. Like, what's going on with Brock Lesnar's next opponent at the Royal Rumble? Is it going to be Braun? Is it going to be Kane?
And now it looks like that, considering the main event this week ended without a finish, everyone is speculating. The speculation is it will be a triple threat match.
I don't know if I want to see that though.
No, you do. You know you don't want to see that.
Yeah, I don't want to see that. You're right. I'm trying to be a little.
You're being nice. And I appreciate that. But
tentative. No, I want to be tentative, but
you don't want to see that. Brock. You would see Brock and Braun again. You'd want to see.
Yep.
And the Kane
and that's it. That's the only combination of the people that I would want to see is Brock and Braun again.
Yeah, that's really it, man. Like I hear you. It's weird. I mean, fortunately, it's the Royal Rumble, and the Royal Rumble's main event is always the Royal Rumble. That's the fortunate part, is that this isn't a pay-per-view that relies on a championship match to be the big draw. But the Royal Rumble is, you know, the third biggest card of the year, and this is not, you know, it's just all due respect to the great Glenn Jacobs, of course, and he's still doing great now. I mean, he's fine. It just doesn't mean anything. It just doesn't mean anything. That's not a story that I'm motivated by. And frankly, like I told you guys, you know, as much as I love Braun, and I'm a big fan, loved him when we had him on the show, think he's just great. I have concerns about Braun, and the limitations of this version of the character.
The babyface version, you mean?
Yeah, well, really all versions of it. I mean, with it just being, like, literally, guys, his theme song is just this.
But that works for the heel version of Braun Strowman, though. Like, bad guy Braun doesn't need much. Like, he literally just needs to go out there, threaten people, follow through on those threats, and then move on to the next victim.
My problem is, what could... Well, it's hard, though, because as a heel, I guess you just have to stop thinking about things in terms of traditionally. Because if you think about it traditionally, he's tough. Because as a heel, he's going to get cheered. And as a babyface, he'll never be completely over.
He's right, and big. That's our doing, honestly, as fans.
You can keep going. Go to 73rd. Keep going. Yeah. Make the right on 73rd. Thank you, man. That is our problem. That's us pushing our old school expectations, because in an old school sense, he just doesn't make sense. Or he makes sense. It just would never be completely extreme, positive or negative. But yeah, as far as this version goes, I don't know, man. And I guess at some point we should get into this conversation about Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania and where that goes. Because a lot of people assume that Roman versus Brock is a foregone conclusion.
And they could pivot at any time.
But I don't think that's the move this year. I think this is the year for the Shield triple threat.
With what stakes?
I don't need. Do you need stakes in that match?
Well, yeah. Like, something has to happen. They can't just do it for pride. You know, like, I would want stakes in that match. But I'm not saying that I need the Universal Title to be the stakes. You know, Roman does have the Intercontinental Championship.
Could it be the IC title? I mean, I don't know.
It could, because honestly, like, he has that championship, right? And they've made it a point of wanting all of them to be champion. It could be the thing that drives the wedge between them, honestly, because if Rollins and Ambrose continue to go down the road of, like, not being able to get the tag team championship from the bar, and Roman's walking around with a championship, then it could just be like, one of them could just be like, well, I can take that. Like, it'll still be in the group. We'll keep it in the family, and then make him fight to keep that.
All right, well, we will find out whether or not they take our advice. And yes, if things sound a little better now, I stepped inside the house outside of the plush Lincoln Town car. SGG, I received a ton of Twitter love last week. Our audience is so weird. Did you get a lot of tweets last week about our conversation about how we consume the show?
Yes, I did. A lot of people consume it the way you do, surprisingly to me.
I know. Apparently, other people are also with the life, SGG. But what I find most interesting is that it doesn't seem like our audience is ever that different in number. They're just different in how, like, whether or not they're given a reason to reach out to us. You notice that?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Because, like,
we have weeks where literally we don't get a tweet. And I'm like, damn, I guess there's nobody listened to the show this week at all. And then the next week, I'm like, hey, can you guys tweet us and say something? Here's a topic. And everyone tweets. And I'm like, oh, well, maybe so. Also, by the way, follow along on Instagram at Rosenberg Radio, at Stat Guy Greg, to see all of our With a Life adventures. SGG, you now live in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Should you take on the legwork of putting together a With a Life, of course, only a With a Life get together at Royal Rumble weekend?
I would be glad to.
On Saturday night?
NXT night?
After NXT?
There's not many options in the area, because, like,
where is NXT?
NXT is probably going to be at the same place that the Royal Rumble is going to be. And that sports complex.
Man, I sort of think they should run. I wonder whether they should run smaller place for the NXT shows the night before Royal Rumble?
They should, because...
Are they doing Raw and SmackDown in Philly?
I'm almost 100% sure. Actually, I know they are, because during Raw and SmackDown, every week for the past, I don't even know however many months, there's been commercials saying, we're coming to Philadelphia for whatever show's on the air. So, like, they're going to be there. They posted up 4 days straight.
Now, I just heard from an avid listener and friend of the show, Jason Symbol, who just warned me about a horrible, horrible breach of kayfabe only that is happening right now as we speak.
Oh, my God.
And so I warn you, over the next 30 to 45 seconds, I will talk about something that is not kayfabe only. And as I'm checking the calendar here, Monday Night Raw. Yep, all in Philly. NXT the 27th, Rumble, Raw. I wonder how long they're going to do this. It'll be interesting to see how the tickets sell in Philly, because if you can't do the four straight in Philly very well, I don't know how well you can do it.
I'm pretty sure they're going to do the four straight in Philly, though. Like, Philly is buzzing about this. And
you're hearing about it in the streets.
I had an Uber driver. He picked me up. Didn't listen to Cheap Heat, but he did mention that him and his son were wrestling fans, and they got their tickets locked in for that weekend. Everything except the Rumble, I think he said. So,
are they fans of Bring It to the Table? I mean, did you ask?
I didn't even ask.
So you didn't even think to say, you obviously are aware of the great Peter Rosenberg, my dear friend. You didn't say that. Why though?
Because when I name drop you, you're so big that I feel like the brag is too heavy for like people. And
when you name drop me, what?
I said because you're getting so made now. I feel like the level of braggadocious, like. You know how Syph says Jay-Z said never to name drop? I feel like the weight of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. It's very similar to name dropping Jay-Z. I'm glad you brought that up. So real quick, back to the kayfabe only violation that has happened, ladies and gentlemen. And this is bad. And if you want to call out kayfabe violations, you can always do so. But Jason pointed out to me that this Sunday, Sami Zayn is involved in a what's the stipulation in Sami Zayn's
match? If they lose, they are fired from the WWE, not just SmackDown, the WWE. And I think I know where this is going.
That's right. They made that specific, the entire WWE. Yet, however, the WWE Mixed Match Challenge advertisement advertises Sami Zayn in the tournament, which takes place on January 16th.
Well,
so
here's the thing with that.
That is a horrible kayfabe violation.
Here's the thing.
Yes. You could argue that they make the plans, but if he loses, he'd be pulled off.
Right, exactly. Four magical words in the wrestling industry.
They should make note of that.
Cards subject to change. They always do. I feel like with everything, it's in mad small print. There's an asterisk, and it's like card subject to change at the bottom of like.
So you're saying in this case, card subject to change includes the fact that he could lose this weekend?
Of course, because then if he loses, he's not coming back to be a part of this thing. If he loses and he's fired, card subject to change. Sami Zayn's spot is open.
See, this is why another great moment of the physically congested Stat Guy Greg doing his best Kellyanne Conway impression, which, by the way, was an underrated moment in the show last week when I compared you to Kellyanne Conway for the way you can defend the things that you...
You're saying card subject to change is a Kellyanne Conway moment when, in fact, they, like, Survivor Series... What was the one before Survivor Series? TLC? That was a card subject to change moment. Like, they advertised these things, and then 2 days before the show, you get... AJ Styles and Finn Balor instead of Bray and Balor, and you get Kurt Angle in with the Shield. That's card subject to change. Not only that,
and that is the actual reason why it says card subject to change, because they cannot promise things when you're buying tickets. They can just tell you what they're hoping for. However, this is just violating kayfabe, and yes, you can protect it under the argument of card subject to change. But I believe you're being Kellyanne Conway and saying that is actually the reason they do it,
because
it's
I don't think so, because
that's not why.
Because here's why. Here's why I don't think so, right? Because they have this tournament, right? And they're announcing the participants, right? And
yes, yes, Mr.
Now,
Spicer,
I don't know.
Continue.
I don't know how participants were selected. I don't know. But you have to assume that since Kurt Angle made the announcement, that Daniel Bryan, his counterpart, is also involved. And that if these are the two unbiased individuals who are choosing to send their best representatives, that Sami Zayn made the cut.
All right, well, then let's stay there for 1 second. My question about this match, which is the most interesting part of Clash of Champions, I think we would all agree,
yeah,
correct?
And we didn't even go there.
The Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Shane O'Mac, Daniel Bryan. Let's be honest. The most interesting thing about Clash of Champions is Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
So, I ask you, and I ask all of those hashtag with a life listeners who are on their Twitter, Instascrams, or whatever they choose to use when consuming the number one sports and recreation podcast on planet Earth. What do you think is the likely outcome between Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan? Because the stage has clearly been set. In fact, if you go back to before Survivor Series, Daniel Bryan was already starting to get after Shane McMahon. They were already on each other.
Yep.
And getting into it. Now, we have the very rare second referee added to the match because, essentially, Daniel Bryan can't trust Shane McMahon to do what he's supposed to do. So, SGG is something, whether big or small, physical, going to happen with Daniel Bryan this weekend.
Yes. And I said it last week. I feel like Daniel Bryan is going to turn heel. Now they sort of telegraphed it too much to where I kind of want to back off of that and say he might not go like full heel, but he'll be like tweener, sort of ambiguous in the middle, but he's definitely getting involved.
And will there be a swing of some sort, something?
He's going to knee Shane McMahon in the head and then count the three.
Why knee him in the head?
To incapacitate him, because Shane McMahon is going to get overly involved, and then Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon are going to like get in each other's faces. Shane McMahon is going to shove DB. It won't be like he's going to take a bump, but he's going to get shoved out the way, and then Shane McMahon is going to turn his back and catch a running knee to the back of the head.
Well, if he wants to go heel, if you're saying Daniel Bryan actually goes heel, which I don't even know if that's possible.
It is. The crowd will not allow it, but he will try his best.
That's what I mean. Wouldn't it be like knee to the groin instead?
Yeah. Because it could even be a situation where Shane McMahon is going for a fast count. He goes 1-2, boom, he gets knocked out by the...
I just wonder... You know what? I'm going to do something. I'm trying something, okay?
What's up?
What I'm trying to do, Greg, that's not working, is get Sam the Jew Roberts. Sam, by the way, is not Jewish.
Oh, we didn't even wish him happy Hanukkah.
Oh, he's not Jewish, but you're right. We should have. Hold on one more second. Let's see. Greg might just have to be on hold, but let's try anyway. I feel like Sam's an answer the phone randomly kind of guy.
Hello?
I knew it. I knew he'd answer.
Hey, bud.
Hey, Sam. How you doing?
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm calling you very quickly. Bootleg speakerphone on the Cheap Heat podcast. I don't have a fancy studio.
Oh, I love it.
I don't have the Not Sam studios, which are tremendous.
Wait till you see him in person.
Oh, I can't wait. But right now we're in the midst of discussing the match I know you're most excited about at Clash of Champions, and that is to see what happens between Daniel Bryan and Shane O'Mac.
Yes.
And so I'm sure if people listen to the Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, I'm sure they can hear your thoughts in depth. But real quick for the Cheap Heat listeners, if you're forced to predict, what do you think happens between Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan?
Well, like, I love this story because this story is almost, it's like the Survivor Series build, right, was so, like, it was so easy to criticize the Survivor Series build because a lot of the stuff that Shane McMahon was doing wasn't making any sense. And that stuff is now starting to make sense. Like, that, like this story did not start building, you know, 3 weeks ago. This story started building at the beginning of November.
Well, I just was saying that, like, yeah. Daniel Bryan was pissed about 6-7 weeks ago, but it kind of faded in the week before Survivor Series. It kind of was removed as a primary storyline, but it was happening.
Yes, oh, 100%. And I think it's been subtle. I think, like, if you look back, there are subtle nods to it in every interaction that Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon have had since then and continue to have. I think that the what happened on SmackDown this week with Daniel Bryan and obviously hints to him turning heel, I think that that's a red herring. I think that we're going to have a Shane McMahon turn, that Shane McMahon is going to start morphing into a McMahon.
Ooh.
This is going to be a thing where Shane McMahon is going to turn heel on Daniel Bryan, even if it means kind of siding with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens out of nowhere, and kind of being one of those things where Daniel Bryan is getting too big for his britches. Now, the really interesting thing is this is not a side storyline. This is the premier, predominant, prevailing storyline of SmackDown right now.
So absolutely.
Why? Where does it go? This is much bigger than the tension between the Miz and Daniel Bryan, for instance. Like, this is something.
Oh, yes. It's forefront.
It needs a payoff.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, right? Frankly, it's bigger than it's certainly bigger than Jinder Mahal and AJ Styles. This is the biggest thing on the card.
Yes. And it's big because it's Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon. And I kind of am sitting here for the first time ever. I'm sitting here going, I could see a world where the big surprise thing is somehow they get Daniel Bryan back. I don't see how right now this has any satisfying result
that doesn't get physical.
Daniel Bryan in a ring.
Right. So my question is, I just asked Greg, will Daniel Bryan do something physical in the ring this week?
No, absolutely not.
Not a knee to the groin, nothing.
Mm-mm, no, I don't think. I think the most that we can get anytime soon, I could potentially maybe see him in like a six-man tag type scenario, maybe at Royal Rumble, but I don't see him. If he is coming back for a singles match with Shane, that's not happening until WrestleMania. And I think that because Daniel Bryan's the most beloved person on the roster still to this day.
Yeah, probably gets the best pop consistently right now.
Yeah, and him wrestling again is going to, because not only do people love the Daniel Bryan character, but now we all know that he's the one guy on the roster that actually really wants to be a wrestler. Like, all he wants to do is
so
wrestle.
True. Yes.
You know? And that makes us wrestling fans, like, love him even more. I just don't see them wasting any sort of physical anything because we've been waiting for so long. And I think that when it happens, it's going to be these moments that are, like, really, really special. And honestly, like, I think they're going to want you to pay to see him do something physical, at least the first time.
Well, we will see. Sam, thank you for the quick. I know you're very excited. That got me pumped. You can catch Sam Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, the kickoff show for Clash of Champions. And, Sammy, I look forward to seeing the Not Sam Studios very soon.
Oh, yes. I can't wait. Thank you.
And also, I wanted to tell you, your logo freaks me out. I think I want you to change it.
The Not Sam logo or the
logo? The face, the Not Sam with your face gone, with the like TV static instead of your face.
Oh, the new one.
It's scary. It's like, I mean, serious. Like, it's one of those things that, like, makes me feel like a little kid and kind of creeps me out. I don't know why.
like, because, like, my soul is missing and there's just static, like a static TV.
Yeah, well, and I have another major concern, because your face is missing, but it has your hair. But in real life, your hair is what's going away. So what's going to happen to you?
That's true. I mean, you're just going to see more and more static.
All right, Sam. Have fun on Sunday, dude.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
Later. There he is. There he is, the great Sam Roberts. Listen to the Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast and check him out on the WWE Network. And we go back to SGG. I apologize, Sack Guy Greg. I was not able to merge that, but it was a very enjoying and passionate, did I say annoying? Was that a real weird Floydian slip? A very...
I don't think you...
What
I didn't
word
did say
I say?
Annoying?
Did I... What word did I say? I meant to say enjoyable and passionate.
You said enjoying.
Enjoying instead of enjoyable. That was a very enjoyable and passionate conversation with Sam Roberts, who he believes we will see a Shane McMahon turn this weekend. And he wisely... this is a very wise and I think probably accurate thought. We will see nothing getting near physical for Daniel Bryan, because if we're going to get that, it's going to be so meaningful that we won't see any of it this weekend. But you went the other way and said you think we'll see a Daniel Bryan turn, which would be interesting, because to Sam's point, it really has been Shane that's been the one changing, not Daniel Bryan.
Right, but not exactly, though.
Well, think about it. Because Shane has become erratic. He has no longer been prioritizing things. He's let his anger get in the way. He's let his ego get in the way. And to the point Sam just made, he's becoming a McMahon. He's getting like Steph. He's getting like Vince. He's getting power hungry. Could that
right,
be
but
what's
only
happening?
As it relates to these two superstars, whereas Daniel Bryan's so invested in being taken seriously. And again, like you said, like it's these McMahons that don't take him seriously. He just got to make an example out of one, too, just like Sammy and KO did.
Hashtag Bryan turn. Hashtag Shane turn. What do you think happens? But it is so cool because you have a WWE championship match between Jinder Mahal and AJ Styles. That's not the lead storyline. Fatal 4-Way tag title match. That's not the lead storyline. The women's title match, which we'll get to in a second because that's on the top of one of my lists, but not the list you want to be on the top of. That's not the number one storyline. The match between KO, Sami Zayn, Randy, and Shinsuke Nakamura. I mean, if you want to find a negative in this whole story,
it's that Randy and Nakamura are afterthoughts.
They mean nothing. And for Randy, who cares? All due respect, Randy needs nothing. You know, Randy's sole job is to show up week to week. Hit his RKOs, make people look good, wrestle well, and then hopefully get a couple more big, meaningful matches, which I hope they find for him, because it certainly
will. Which, besides that last thing that you've said, is all that he does. Shows up every week, hits his RKO,
keeps it moving,
make people look good, and that's
yeah.
it.
Nah, you know what? And in a weird way, and we'll get back to Shinsuke in a second, because it is odd that Shinsuke is an afterthought, but you know what? I want to take a moment and give Randy Orton props. Hashtag props for Randy. I'm just hashtagging everything. Because Randy always got a hard time for being immature, for getting in trouble, for maybe being a little bit selfish, not always taking things seriously. He now seems very comfortable in the veteran role, doesn't seem to care at all or have an ego. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying, but I mean...
I mean, obviously,
like
we don't know the inside.
Inspired, though.
We don't know the inside of it, but seeing him, he always seems in good spirits. His kids put up tremendous wrestling videos. Did you see the video of his kids hitting the Shield powerbomb to the baby?
On their sister, yes, I did see that. But you know what? They're siblings, so it's allowed.
That
Who
was
am
amazing.
I, right?
That was amazing. But wait, so wait, you were saying, what were you saying is the downside? What were you being a killjoy about with my Randy point? I thought this was so profound.
Oh, just that, like, he doesn't really get too many big, meaningful matches. It's just like...
Well, and here's my question for our audience to ponder, all right? We had the good three good things. Here is your good question of the week. Oh, yeah, everyone's talking about it. It's the hashtag good question of the week. Good question. That's a good question. Oh, no, you know what I'll call it? I'll call it the WWE good question of the week. Or if it's Greg doing it, it can be the WWE good question of the week. What is a great match or storyline that could still be out there for Randy?
I'll tell you right now. Can I answer the question, or should we give them a week and then I'll come back with my answer next week?
I just want to think so I'm not influenced by you. I have one thought that popped in my head, but they can't have a good match.
The thought that immediately popped to my head is someone, namely AJ Styles, says to Randy,
yeah,
what we've been saying to him. You were good. You had a lot of promise. But now you're just lazy. You're here. Your RKO is impressive. But you've been reduced to one move and you mean nothing to the company. Like, SmackDown Live is the house that AJ Styles built. Goes into all of that. Which would be extra insulting because Randy debuted on SmackDown way back when. And then
it's a great stack
he lights
moment.
A fire under Randy mm-hmm. and have Randy be put in this position now where, like, he can't just be comfortable being the veteran because AJ Styles can tell him straight up, like, I wasn't here, but I have just as many years in this business as you do. So if you want to prove to me that you still got it, then you need to see me in the ring and then have him and AJ put on a phenomenal match at one of the big four pay-per-views. Just to remind you that Randy might still have it.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. It doesn't get me excited for some reason, matchup-wise. I don't know why, even though I think from story standpoint, I think that's not a bad story.
Thank you.
But it's not a matchup that Randy is like a specific thing to me. Like, I'm trying to think of something. And listen, I know Randy doesn't need to win, but I'll tell you what. Okay, let me ask you a question. Does Randy Orton, is he great enough all time or important enough all time to have one, at least one more marquee win in a big moment?
Yeah.
I think so. If that's the case, how incredible would a perfectly hit RKO to finish Braun Strowman look? Now, I don't know that he's going to get that opportunity because is it worthwhile to do that to Braun Strowman? But the thing about the RKO that makes it amazing is, and this was a question I wanted to talk about this week, was finishes that are truly meaningful. I mean, listen, if Randy Orton hits an RKO on Sami Zayn, you know he's not getting up. Never.
Yeah.
Never, ever, ever, ever. You know, so I don't know. That
finishes that are truly meaningful, there's not many, though,
well,
when you
hold
think
on.
About
I'm
it. Because
thinking,
even like,
I'm thinking all time, though. I would like to rank.
No, I know.
Like, if you were to rank the top five, this conversation started because I was listening to Pritchard's Jake Roberts episode, and we were talking about the meaning, how meaningful his DDT was, right?
Was, though, and that's exactly what I was going to say. Like,
his DDT.
A lot of these moves are setup moves now.
Right, right. No, but I just mean specifically a performer's finish. So, like for example, I'll give you the ones that come to my mind. Most meaningful finishes of all time. I think all time number one is probably the leg drop. It was kicked out of so few times, right? I'll put the leg drop right at the top. Probably number one. I'll sit it there for right now. I mean, listen, I'll put that DDT. That's probably around the 5-6 slot.
Yeah, that is definitely top five.
That DDT, people didn't get up from it. Like, that was it. It was a different time. Again, we're going to end up leaning on 80s guys because finishes meant something. However, the Taker tombstone's in there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not a lot of kickouts of the tombstone. There are a couple more towards the end, but not a lot.
Yeah, in the beginning, though, not a lot is an understatement. It was not at all in the beginning. Like, if he hit that tombstone, it was a wrap.
From the modern era, I would say the only one of this era that pops into my head is the RKO.
It's Cena.
Cena's get kicked out of all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, he hits it 2 and 3 times. He's been doing that for 5-6 years already. Where he has to hit it a few times. Like, it at the beginning, but... Oh, you know what's a good one? I'm good. This is a fun game. The go to sleep. Go to sleep was night-night.
I feel like, didn't Cena kick out of the go to sleep a couple of times, though?
Maybe, but that's Cena. That's what I'm saying. Like, it makes sense for Cena to kick out. But, like, people would slide out of go to sleep before he hit it. But if he hits it... Go to sleep's pretty good. But of this era, wouldn't you say RKO is right at the top?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of people who kicked out of the RKO.
Yes.
Nothing's coming to mind.
And after forcing it all episode, we finally got the subject that you know everyone's going to be tweeting about. Because this is this conversation for to get it down to 5 all time. If you go leg drop, tombstone, DDT, RKO... What else? We're forgetting. We're not racking our brains enough.
Leg drop, tombstone, DDT, RKO. Because even like the sharpshooter wasn't always Bret Hart's go-to finish. And that's the other thing, too. Like,
And it's not a pin, so it's weird. You know, submission's different.
Yeah.
Sweet
Chin Music people kicked out of a lot.
Yeah, they did. The Savage Elbow is pretty good.
Got kicked out of, though.
It did. It did get kicked out of. You know, it's funny, though, also when you think of a great who had the most trash finishers. We can say that for another week. Because I was like, oh, what's Warrior's finish? Oh, my God. Trash. I mean, go to sleep. I do like go to sleep as another modern era one.
Because even, like, oh... The jackhammer.
The jackhammer's pretty dope.
Can't
honestly
think of too many people who...
Oh, F5. F5, though.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. Now, everyone...
How dare we?
Because, and you might be saying, some people are saying, what about Rock Bottom? What about Stunner? They all got kicked out of so many times just by each other.
Yeah.
Rocky and Austin alone ruined each other's finishes.
And that is so true. And also, too, like, one thing that takes away from some of these moves to me is the fact that, like, and I know the leg drop fits into this category, but... so many of them became setup moves. DDT fits into this category too, but when you go modern era, like I don't see a time when the RKO is going to be used to set up an even more devastating finisher.
Oh no!
As, like
no.
Just to throw it.
Not to mention, the RKO is amazing because you know what? It's funny too because it's interesting because the RKO is like the stunner, right? But what he does with his body when he does it makes it look so much more impressive than what Austin did. It's just the athleticism. Yeah. And it's taken differently. I mean, people go completely parallel to the mat when they take it.
And it's like the stunner has to be hit in a specific situation. The RKO really can't come out anywhere.
Well, and it's like, it's funny when you think about it, RKO out of nowhere. That whole idea. It's almost directly a diss to the stunner. Because the stunner never comes out of nowhere because it always has...
You see it coming.
You always see the kick to the stomach first.
Yep.
It's like, here it comes. It's sort of like Hogan. There was always a setup. Big boot. You know, there's always a setup before the leg drop. The RKO out of nowhere. anyways, that was a fun way to get to that conversation because Randy Orton's the perfect segue. So two things to ponder. Who is the storyline that's left out there for Randy Orton? Could him and Brock still do good work?
I don't know. I think people are jaded after that first one.
When did they do it?
Was it last year? I believe it was last year. I'm not sure if it was SummerSlam or Survivor Series, but they did it last year, and it was just a mess.
Yeah, I don't know. I be interesting. Maybe some people are just completely done and don't care. I don't know. SGG, so I wanted to mention... Oh, sorry. I don't know if you have anything else on your good list. I also want to say Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah, that was the best Shelton Benjamin promo I've ever seen in my life.
The walk into the ring?
Yeah, like, I don't remember
Chad Gable's
Shelton
funny,
Benjamin.
Bro. Like, he actually...
You think he's bringing the best out of Shelton?
I don't know. They work well together. Like, I thought it was really funny when he was like, Training Day? Like, I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying Chad Gable. I like them together.
But, yeah, that Shelton Benjamin surprised me with how good that promo was. Specifically from him, not to take anything away from Chad Gable, but you know, I had the Black Power rankings on my mind, so I was like, oh, this is a good promo.
Wait,
right
did you
here.
Say,
this
did
is...
you say Black Power rankings?
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black, I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm black.
You know, I'm going to give Shelton Benjamin an honorable mention on this week's Black Power Rankings.
And what a true honor that is for him, I know.
Yes, absolutely. Almost as good as becoming tag team champion again. And then number three, I'm going to go Jason Jordan, though, because as much as I liked Shelton Benjamin this week on SmackDown, I really enjoy seeing the evolution of Jason Jordan on Raw into this entitled brat. And I'm looking forward to seeing more of that. And then number two, Cedric Alexander, who came up off the misfortunes of Rich Swann and found himself going up against Drew Gulak with the winner to receive a shot at Enzo for the Cruiserweight Championship. It was originally going to be Rich Swann and Gulak, but we discussed what happened to Rich Swann already. And in at number one.
So, yeah. By the way, quick, I know I do not want to disrespect the Black Power rankings, but I will say it. Are you starting to enjoy Drew Gulak? I sort of am enjoying Gulak a little bit.
I'm not there yet, but I do see what people like him, though.
I think it's kind of funny. I don't know. I just think it's kind of funny. But anyways, keep going. I'm disrespecting the Black Panther.
No disrespect. And in at number one, this is an unorthodox pick, but I'm going to put the WWE Championship in at number one because I don't know if you noticed, but it seemed to be redesigned. It's a little bit more black now. There was a red underline under the WWE logo, and where there once was a red jewels, it now appears to be black. And so with that in mind, this redesigned WWE Championship finds itself at the top of this week's Black Power Rankings.
Wow, this is shocking. What a moment this is on the Black Power Rankings. Woo.
Number one.
So, Greg, what are you suggesting is going on here with this logo?
I don't know. I wonder if we could see a redesigned Universal Championship that has the red underline in the logo. I really don't know. But I do think it looks good, though. Like, it looks really good.
Is this an actual official thing, or you just sort of noticed it?
It was pointed out to me on Twitter because I wasn't watching SmackDown Live. I caught it today and I saw it, and you can definitely tell. Like, I was wondering if maybe it was the lighting or something like that. No, the championship has definitely been redesigned, and it does look good. I'm not going to lie.
That'll do it for your Black Power rankings. SGG, so we should mention the women's division on both shows right now. What the hell is going on, SGG?
I don't even think they know, to be honest. You got them running that same storyline with Absolution and the Riot Squad on concurrent shows. I mean, there are some bright spots, though. I'm not gonna go ahead and completely crap on it. I mean, Asuka's still undefeated, and there's still some potential for greatness there. But other than that, it's hard to say what the hell's going on with the women.
Listen, tons of talent. Very excited for what the future of this roster is, and there ain't no doubt about that. But story-wise, how we're getting there is just very, very confusing to me. Absolution.
Still don't like the name. I'm still not a fan of the name.
Hold on. I just received a text message from the Alexa Bliss. Speaking of...
Of course. Her timing is impeccable.
And yes, I just heard from her right now. She is actually currently in her native of Ohio with Jewish friends and saw an actual menorah lighting for the first time.
No.
So a happy Hanukkah.
She didn't just text you that.
She did. She did. and she says happy Hanukkah. She said happy Hanukkah, all exclamation points. So guys, a lot of people doubt me when I told you that I would make sure Alexa Bliss was a Jew. But here we are, middle of Hanukkah.
And I did doubt you.
I made her Jewish. I mean, I kind of take some credit for this. I'm the one who made her want to look into this, and look what we got. Look what we got. Now, I almost, like, here's the thing. I don't think any of the stories that are happening will negatively impact Alexa Bliss. And I think there's a lot of options of where to go with her now that you have a lot of people for her to play with. But just by and large, this story is womp, 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 womp.
So I like Absolution more than Riot Squad, though. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, you maybe you're the one who really turned me off to Riot Squad, because what about it is a Riot Squad? If it's Riot Squad, they should all be dressed like Ruby Riott.
Yeah, they don't have, and like it makes me more angry than I should be about just how they dress. Like, who cares? But I want them in matching gear. Otherwise, they're just like, I don't even know. Are they even friends? I don't know.
I know. I feel the exact same way. It just... I don't know. And then on the other side, hold on real quick. Let's flip the script and go to SmackDown Women. I mean, it bothers me that you have a championship match between Natalya and Charlotte, and you know nothing's going to happen with the title because the story has nothing to do with Natalya and Charlotte anymore.
Yep.
They're just like players in the Riot Squad story. And that irks
Which me. Is not an interesting story. I don't love it.
Right? Like, and they shouldn't be used that way. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe they could have just separated. Maybe they could have let Charlotte and Natalya keep kind of working and have a story that means something still, where they at least get to work good matches and let everyone else be in the muck and the mire. And also, bro.
Yeah, because
what's
not to cut you off, but
go ahead.
No, I was gonna say that bothered me too, though. That like Ruby Riott, all of a sudden, like you just show up. Most of the fans don't watch NXT, so they don't know you. And, like, you demand to be in the title picture, and you're actually being taken seriously by Daniel Bryan and all these people? Like, who are you?
It's weird. It just doesn't make sense. And also, what's going to happen to the briefcase, bro? How? I mean, is it even still a real thing?
No, we got to see the briefcase in action soon.
Maybe this week.
Hopefully this week.
Ooh, maybe Carmella. Maybe they set it up so Carmella's able to win the title. And, like, she kind of ends up with them.
I don't know. I don't know that Liv and Carmella. I don't know how well they get along. But then again, would that matter to Vince? I don't know.
Wait, you mean get along in real life?
Yeah.
Why?
Because Liv used to date Enzo, and Carmella is with Cass. And
oh, that's who. That's how I know Liv, is that she was the girl with Enzo.
Yes.
Yes. That's how I know her. I remember. Okay, I remember that. Got it. She's not with Enzo anymore, though.
No, no. As Enzo will remind us every Monday and Tuesday, he's got a new lady. Well, Cruiserweight Championship.
I'm about to say. I mean, listen, that's his only lady is the Cruiserweight Championship. SGG, we got to wrap this up. We've already gotten so many things people to talk about. Quick predictions. You want to run over the card real quick?
Yeah, okay. I'll start at the bottom. We got Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley on the pre-show. I'm going Mojo Rawley.
I'm going popcorn. Oh. Mojo Rawley.
Mojo Rawley. Tyler Breeze and Fandango against the Bludgeon Brothers.
I'm going to go Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense for them to do anything but continue to dominate. So I'm going to go with the Bludgeon Brothers as well. Baron Corbin versus Dolph Ziggler versus Bobby Roode United States Championship match.
I don't know how we got here with Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode again, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know either. My heart says Bobby Roode, but my mind says
my mind telling me no. But my body my body's saying Baron Corbin.
Yep. Which is unfortunate, but that's just how it looks like it's going to be.
Yeah, I'll go Corbin.
Charlotte versus Natalya, lumberjack match.
Lumberjill, if you will.
Lumberjill, excuse me, yes.
Did they even call it that, or they call it lumberjack?
I think they did call it a lumberjill match.
Yeah, I'll go Charlotte.
Yeah, for the reasons that we outlined earlier, Charlotte. The Usos versus the New Day versus Jordan and Gable, who they have gear now, but now I need them to come with a team name. I don't want this person, that person stuff. And Rusev Day, Aiden English and Rusev, WWE Tag Team titles.
I hope it stays in the penitentiary, as you know. This isn't a storyline worthy of removing the titles from guys who are in the prime of their career. And I believe this is the Hall of Fame moment for the Usos.
Yeah.
So I want it to be worthy of them.
Yeah. I agree with everything you said. Usos have been like the best tag team this year. But, you know, we can't agree on all these predictions. So with that in mind, I'm going to go Jordan and Gable.
Okay.
Sammy and KO versus Randy Orton and Nakamura, Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan as special guest referees. Like,
somehow, Sammy and KO are going to win.
Yeah, even though I just literally said I don't want to keep agreeing with you, this one is the no-brainer. So Sammy and KO, they got to squeak one out. And finally, Jinder Mahal versus AJ Styles for the WWE Championship.
I will go with AJ Styles.
All right, so let me squeeze a little late stat in right here.
Okay.
Jinder Mahal is undefeated in WWE title matches on pay-per-view.
Jinder Mahal is.
Jinder Mahal is 5-0. So I'm going to go with Jinder Mahal. And I got another stat for you. Earlier you said the pay-per-view was coming to us from Columbus, Ohio. It's actually coming to us from the TD Garden in Boston.
Oh my gosh, I forgot. I'm a pay-per-view ahead. Why did you let me do that?
I mean, I didn't let you per se, but a stat's a stat. So it might be fast. What's the next one? It's Fastlane, right?
Well, no. I know Chamber Rumble? Elimination is in Vegas, and then whatever the other one is around then is in Columbus, I believe. So thank you.
Is that Fastlane?
I don't remember. It's, well, I'm not doing it. There's one in Ohio that I'm not doing.
And the Elimination Chamber's in Vegas.
SGG, well, this weekend, will you do me a big favor and stay mage?
Oh, yeah.